Recently, I listened to a talk by Brother Leo Post, given a good number of years ago in the U.S. The title of Brother Leo's talk was Our Highest Motive. And today, I would like to share some of the blessings that I received from listening to that talk with all of you. Welcome. Let us begin by turning to John 6, verse 44. The Bible says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." The heavenly call is totally a result of the love from our Heavenly Father. It is not our own choice or effort, but it is according to the will and the love of Heavenly Father. Hebrews 5 verse 4 also says, "No man taketh the honor unto himself, but when he is called of God, even as was Aaron." And so we see, dear brethren, that God who does the calling. So our call in Christ is not through our own efforts, but it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father God. Now let us turn to Matthew 22 verse 14, where we read, "For many are called, but few are chosen." What does it mean? Only few among the invited consecrate themselves to follow Jesus. Revelation 17 verse 14 says, "He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful." To acquire this, Apostle Paul says, "There we ignite our salvation," or in bracket, our invite, "with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will, to work for the good pleasure." Let us turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 and 13. Now we see that we must do our part after the Lord invites us to come higher. We need to remain faithful, dear brethren, unto death. Some may answer when asked, "What is the highest motive you might express?" Sorry, there's a small blackout. Okay, let us continue. Some may answer when asked, "What is the highest motive you might express concerning the offering of the divine nature?" Or one might ask himself, "Why do I want the divine nature?" Answer: "Well, I want it because it is the best thing I can ever have." It is a good answer, but let us see, what is the divine nature? What does it look like? And how can we receive this divine nature? First, the divine nature means to be changed and close with the nature that resembles the nature of our Creator. Our Heavenly Father, God, as Apostle writes in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, "Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, "Behold, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For this perishable body must put on an imperishable body. And this mortal body must be put into mortality. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 51 to 54. Jesus said, "It is my Father who glorifies me." That we get it in John chapter 8, verse 54. And in Revelation 7, verse number 14, we are told this about those who will receive the divine nature. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Any who will welcome back the spirit of the world, desiring world prestige, any who put their wants before God will not inherit the divine nature from our Heavenly Father. Even though having been invited. But only those who will be called, chosen, and faithful to the end, regardless of challenges they face while in this perishable body, will receive the divine nature. Question number two. I want the divine nature because God has invited me to this. In other words, to show appreciation to our Heavenly Father for His invitation. Without being ready to comply with the standard of that invitation. We read in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast is the best illustration of this. The invitation to the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who announced a wedding for a son. Many were invited to this marriage, but when the king came to see, he noticed one without a wedding garment. We note that this one without a wedding garment was referring to a class of those who did not keep their wedding garments clean and white. As stated, this calling of the gospel age is a mystery to the world. Just because we believe that God does the calling, brethren, we will have to do our part. Think of all that was done for the nation of Israel before Jesus came to them in the flesh and dwelt amongst them. Still their eyes were blinded and their ears could not hear their king's son, nor recognize their invitation. The king ordered the servants to tie him and send him away. In Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 14, we read, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have authority over the tree of life, and may enter into by the gates into the city." Our robes need to be washed each day, brethren, as so to keep them clean. And while in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 10 and 11, we read, Wherefore, brethren, give them more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never stumble. For that shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Question number three. I want the divine nature because I want to see God face to face. Yeah, many people have assumed that when you accept the calling, you will see God face to face. But in reality, no one has seen God face to face. Humans cannot see God in this nature. Even Moses did not see him physically. Men and women have to be brought unto perfection first in order to see God. They must first experience a change of nature. In 1 Timothy chapter 16, we read, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light and approachable, whom no man hath seen, nor can see. When Jesus was on earth, he had excellent continual communion with God, the Father. God knows well how he wants his children to be. So he did set a high standard for us to see. In verse 11, brethren, the Bible says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Apostle Paul continues in following verses, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you are called. Seeing God face to face must be compelled to a high standard of faithfulness. It guarantees glory, honor, immortality for eternities in the divine realm if one patiently endures faithfully unto death. We read in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 7, to them that by patient in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption shall be eternal life. Dear brethren, God has exceedingly done his part and has provided to us every help along this narrow way. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3 and 4, the divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his previous and exceeding great promises, that through this ye might become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is through this, ye might become partakers of divine nature in the world by the last. Partakers of the divine nature. having escaped the corruption that is in this world of lust. Second Peter, chapter number 1, verse 3 and 4. Brethren, God promised Abraham that because Abraham was faithful and obedient and was willing to offer his son Isaac, God will bless all the families of the earth. This was a very precious promise. But Apostle Peter tells us that to he, bride chosen for his work, he was reserving promises that were exceeding great and precious. One is from Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Answer number 4. I want the divine nature so that I can help to lift humankind to perfection. How important to have part in the lifting humankind to perfection. We continue to pray for God's will to be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. Wanting to lift up the world of mankind and to help them go up on to that highway of holiness in the desire of all those called to be followers of Christ. Christ Jesus. But dear brothers and brethren and sisters, can we say that will truly be our highest motive in life? What was our Lord's highest motive, dear brethren? Was it not to glorify his Father? Glorify his Father's name by the laying aside of his own will and doing only the will of his Father. He did this twice, didn't he? He gave up his former spirit life willingly to do the will of his Father. Then again, as one a little lower than the angels, he willingly laid aside his own will to do the will of his Father. His motive was that he might magnify the name of his Father and bring honor and glory to God. And we should have this same motive for the rest of our lives, just as it was of Jesus. This is the highest motive, dear friends. We express this in our thoughts and prayers, in our vow unto the Lord, and with our morning resolve, we express this in our interactions with our brethren, keeping them in prayer and even being willing to lay down our lives for them. We are told, we know that we have passed out of death. That one is found in 1 John, chapter number 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. In John 17, we are told, these things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. To glorify God means to praise, honor, and magnify him in all this. Obviously, we also give honor to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. in John chapter 5, verse number 23, says, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. However, the Father is greater than the Son, and it is to our Father that the glory preeminently belongs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, says, and when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. This shows that giving God the glory and glorifying him in all we think and say do must be our highest motive. In John 15 verse 8, here is my father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall ye become my disciples. It is only by abiding in Christ, the true vine, and partaking of the nutriment of the vine, the word having his words abiding in us, that we can bring fruits, we can bring forth fruit. If severed from the true vine, the marginal translation states, you can do nothing. By the same token, a fruit-bearing Christian gives evidence of his vital relationship to the vine. The fruit grown on the branches of any vine is not for the benefit of the branches, but it is for the use and blessings of others. So in Christian fruit bearing, Paul, for example, speaks of the works of faith and the labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus before God, our Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, says, faith that does not work for the blessings of others is dead. In James 2, verse 26, likewise, love which does not labor in the interest of others and to the glory of God is not a genuine fruit of the Spirit. Again, Apostle Paul writes, encouraging Christians to walk worthy of the Lord and to pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 10. In Romans chapter number 15, verse number 28, he refers to the gift made by Gentiles to their unfortunate brethren in Judea as a fruit, and truly it was the result of their being in the vine, and the spirit of nutriment of the vine being in them. The brethren at Philip sent a gift to Paul while he was in prison at Rome, and he refers to this as their fruit of their evidence of their love for him and for the Lord. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 17. We let our light shine by holding forth the word of life. It is true, of course, that if our lives are not blameless, sincere and without blemish, our holding forth the word would avail nothing and certainly would not glorify God. Neither will others ever learn the truth simply by noting the purity of Christian character in the lives of the Lord's people. Character development and active witness work are both essential in order properly to let out light shine. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, counted not the being in an equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. In conclusion, brothers, Jesus said that his desire, his nutrition food was to do the will of God. His ultimate desire was to serve his Father, which should be our highest motive also. It is by God's grace that we are able to run for the highest prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And if faithful to receive the divine nature, the ultimate desire of every competitor in a race is to win a crown, a prize. And if we want to serve him in any capacity to win this prize, we cannot go back to serve the spirit of this world, and it is selfishness. When Jesus said, I have finished my work, and now Father glorify me with the glory I had before the world existed, he was remembering the love, the care, which his heavenly Father gave him before. This was his primary desire, to go back to the same love of his Father at all costs, to the point of surrendering his life so that he can have it again. It pleased the Father to lift him up higher than that, granting him the divine nature. Though we have the invitation, we must make our calling sure by maintaining the high standard of obedience and faithfulness as demonstrated by Christ. The basic thing is that you declare and consecrate yourself in the service of the Lord in every way in that you do, guided with the following principle of setting your own high standard. Point number one, you must have godly conduct. Point number two, your character development. Point number three, study of the truth and applying the truth. Point number four, service and sacrifice. You must be able to sacrifice and serve others willingly. It is of primary importance that we give all diligence to make our calling and election sure, that we daily study and meditate upon the inspired word, developing and manifesting Christ-likeness. And while doing this, we shall not fall to let our light shine before men, holding forth the words of life to the glory of God. This is putting Christ-like into action. We, like Jesus, will need to spend much time in prayer at the close of each day. We do well ask ourselves in examination, in what extent have I glorified my Heavenly Father? Thank you, brothers and sisters. And whatsoever you do, all to glorify of God. And may the Lord add his blessing unto you. Amen.